The lights are on red. We're away.
GPOD. My name is Jim Race, and I'll be your host for this episode. This is episode number 66. We got a whole bunch to talk to you about tonight. I'm going to talk about the upcoming GP race at Catalunya this weekend. That should be a real great race. We're going to talk a little bit about AMA coming this weekend as well. They'll be running at Miller Motorsports Park, a brand new track in Utah, in the United States. I'm going to talk probably just a bit. I am fully locked in now to corner work for the USGP. I'm very excited about that, and I've been working on a couple of things to make that more exciting for both myself, for the other corner workers, and I'll keep some of that secret for now, as well as you, the listeners. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of MotoGP, the internet radio show all about motorcycle road racing. So the Catalunya circuit, a wonderful circuit. It was built back in 1991, hosted its first GP back in 1995. It is considered one of the best modern era GP tracks in the world. In 2001, they did win the award for the best Grand Prix trophy, although watching that award is kind of interesting. It seems to kind of bounce around to a favored track anywhere. But it's a neat old track. The general admission can hold, they say, 104,000. They had 106,000 last year, and they're expecting just about the same this year, especially with the amount of Spaniards that are racing in the GP. We had 4 last year. We've got 5 this year, but it is mixed up a little bit. Now, we had 4 last year. You think a bit, and I'll talk in a moment about who isn't there this year and who is new this year. The track itself, it's 4.7 kilometers in length, about just a little bit under 3 miles. The front straight is a full kilometer long, making it one of the quickest ones on the GP circuit. The best lap at the track itself was held by Sete Gibernau at a 1:42.337, of course, last year riding for Honda, this year riding for Ducati. The fastest race lap is held by none other than Valentino Rossi, a 1:43.195. Pole position last year went to Sete Gibernau, top speed at the track, held by Loris Caparossi at 331 kilometers per hour, equating somewhere around 205. That's quick. Now, last year, podium was Valentino Rossi, Sete Gibernau, and Marco Melandri, so you had one of your Spaniards right there, and it was a great race. In the end, Rossi took Gibernau by a little bit over a second. Next three riders up were Barros, Hayden, and Biaggi, so in the top 6 from last year, 2 of those folks are gone. As I said before, a total of 4 Spaniards were running last year. You had Gibernau, of course. You had Ruben Chaus, who has also moved on. Carlos Checa, who is still around. Dan David Checa, and somebody else who's not around. So things have changed quite a bit this year. Well, who do we have up this year? The Spaniards, still around. Carlos Checa, Sete Gibernau. But we've got some new ones, Tony Elias, Danny Pedrosa, of course, and Jose Luis Cardoza. So a bit of a mixed bag, a lot of change. Obviously, the people that are doing really well, or the person that's doing really well this year for Spain, and who everybody is looking to see a great showing out of, is going to be Danny Pedrosa. And he's been playing it up this week. A lot of public appearances, seems to be looking forward to this weekend's race, and we're looking forward to seeing what he can do. And I know that Liam had a chance this week to hook up with him at one of those appearances, and he said he was speaking with him. He was feeling relaxed, confident. Liam said he managed to even eke a smile out of him. Liam is obviously going to be very, very busy this weekend, and I have unfortunately not been able to hook up with him this week, but I will hope we can get a real good report after the weekend, find out what's been going on, and I will try and bring that to you maybe for the wrap-up show on Monday night or Tuesday. In other sort of shocking news today, at least for those of us in the fan community, today Argentinian 250cc rider Sebastian Porto announced his retirement. Not just, you know, hey, I'm going to hang it up at the end of the year, but he announced his immediate retirement. He is going to be withdrawing from 250cc racing. He was signed up. He was on the grid, or signed up to be on the grid for this race. But he's made he and his team say a very tough decision. He has said, and he's pretty much putting it on his own shoulders, that he was never able to come to terms with the Honda this year. And it's basically just worn him down. He's not having a good time, it sounds like, and he is going to hang up his helmet. He gave his best to the team. The team gave his best to him. And I'm surprised by the whole thing. I'm sure there were those in the paddock that knew that something was coming down the pike, but still, just quite a surprise, and especially, you know, considering his success in the past. Of course, he has been racing for quite some time, but you know, Alberto Puig, who is the gentleman that brought up Danny Pedrosa, had high hopes for him. So let's hope that he has himself a good retirement. He said that he wants to possibly go back and help the younger riders in Argentina, give them some of the experience that he's garnered over the years, and that'd be great. If, you know, anybody that can bring up road racers is good in my book. So here's to you, Sebastian. You had a great run, and we're going to miss you, and I hope everything goes well in the future. So on to the AMA. I won't talk about this too much because you guys aren't big AMA fans. You're here for MotoGP, and I understand. One of the reasons, though, that I do want to talk about it in this episode is the AMA Superbike Series, as well as all the support classes, is heading out to a brand new track for them this weekend. It is Miller Motorsports Park, outside of Salt Lake City, Nevada, or Salt Lake City, Utah. And it's quite a circuit. It's very, very new. This track was just completed, it's quote unquote completed last summer, but they've been working on it as recently as probably today. The AMA riders have tested there twice so far. A quote from Neil Hodgson today pretty much flat out said that he thought it was the best track in the United States, bar none. It is a European style circuit in many ways, with the exception that it's flat as a board. There are a couple, so let me back up a little bit. A national series, a feeder series for the AMA here in the United States called WIRA, raced there last weekend. And that was probably the first real good indication of what the track was going to be like. As I said before, the AMA riders had tested out there, and they had a couple of interesting things to say about it, and there were some interesting things with tire wear, more specifically. The track, basically, when a track is built, it's what they call green. The track is not worn in, the pavement is very abrasive, and it has a tendency to what they call eat tires. This means that as the track is very abrasive, riders are going to go through tires very quickly, hence the eating. The track, however, has some very unique aspects to it in the way that it eats tires. It does not eat them evenly. Normally you'd probably be ripping through the rear quite a bit more, but apparently because of the way that you can charge a lot of these corners, and in order you need to sort of charge them, and charging means coming into them very hot, long corners where you spend a lot of time on the edge of the tire, tends to eat up the front tire at a rate of about 2-to-1 of the rear tire, which is something quite unusual. So teams are going to really have to come to grips, no pun intended there, with a tire situation this weekend. And nobody's really got a good handle on it. Every other track their AMA races on, they've got all sorts of data about what they need to do, suspension setup, the whole nine yards. They've got close to nothing this year. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great weekend. Come Sunday for us here in the States, we've got about 4 or 5 hours straight worth of racing on television. And I look forward to perhaps seeing the domination of the Suzukis of both Ben Spies and just last race, Matt Mladen, back in it. I'd like to see some of the other guys battle hard up front. And I'd love to see the Ducatis up there, perhaps one of the Hondas. Anybody, bring it, because I'm all for seeing the bikes do well. I'd particularly like to see Hodgson get back up front again. He's currently running fourth in the series and has been pushing darn hard for what he can do. So I'm looking forward to it. I will be watching. Unfortunately, I'm recording this on Thursday evening, so I have no data on either the GP or the AMA races yet. I'll be seeing all that tomorrow, and I'll sort of be sneaking looks at it from work, watching qualifying from both series. But it's going to be a great weekend, and I'll bring you something on Monday about this race as well. It should be great. And the reason I say so primarily is because of the circuit itself. The circuit was designed by Alan Wilson, who also designed Barber Motorsports Park back east in the United States, which is a beautiful racetrack. It's got a couple of issues, but he's developed probably, I guess, at least 9 or 10 around the world, and all of them have been garnered major awards and also praise from pretty much all the riders that run on them. The circuit itself is huge. It, in its full configuration, is a 4.5 mile track that equates to about 7.3 kilometers. The track itself is very wide, 50 feet at all points, about 13 meters. It's unknown by me, perhaps the AMA knows, which circuit they'll run at. The very shortest, they're going to run what they call the 3 mile outer track, which is guaranteed pretty much to be the fastest top or average speed wise track in the United States. Regardless, it should be great. I know that the and I'm using the word great a lot, that's almost like cracking, but it'll be good, and I have a feeling the TV coverage will be excellent, partially due to the flatness of it. The backdrop is beautiful, right amongst the Rocky Mountains, probably even a little snow up there. So enough about that. Let's move on. So just kind of, as you well know, Bob Hayes has been the host of this show for, well, since its inception. I've joined him a few times to help out and to fill in where needed if he headed off. But again, I just want to let you know who I am, because you're going to be stuck with me for a bit. Hopefully I will do as well as Bob did. He's done a fantastic job over these last 66 or 65 episodes, but he's currently deployed with the U.S. Navy, and I'm keeping in touch with him in email shortly. He's probably going to be somewhat out of touch. He will be back in and out, and I hope we'll be hearing from him as often as possible. My name is Jim Race. The last name is spelled just like it sounds, R-A-C-E. I am a longtime writer. I've been writing since, I'm going to give something away here. I first wrote a motorized two-wheeled vehicle in 1967. I was very young at the time. I'll leave it at that. I've been in a racing family my entire life. My grandfather was a vice president of a company called Shelby American from 1963 through 1971. And my uncle raced stock cars for a long time. He raced go-karts. He's, for many, many years, has been the manager of a motorcycle shop down in Los Angeles, California. My mom, for a while, dragged race cars, and it's pretty much running the family. I first got into motorcycles, as I said, at that tender young age. At the same time, later in years, as I started going faster and faster on the street, I became interested in the street and some of the most beautiful riding territory in the Bay Area of California. 1982 or 83, a friend of mine named Austin Coe got me into first the TTs and then the GPs. This would have been quite some time ago, and I was just blown away, and I was amazed by the acrobatic skills of the riders, and especially the danger of the TT, and I'm still a TT fan to this day. I poked around local races, club races in the Bay Area. Club racing is very strong. When the GPs came back to the United States back in 1987, I was, as you can well imagine, thrilled. And strangely enough at the time, with my motorcycle obsession, I happened to be working for a Yamaha dealer. This dealer dealt in scooters, but still they were in the Yamaha network. And so I got to go to the races as a semi-VIP, which was amazing, and got to see some amazing things. I didn't miss a single GP. In fact, I took my now wife to one in 1993, and I started, I had a want to race back then. I originally obtained a license application in 1989, but didn't start racing until 1999 or 2000. So I do race. I'm actually taking sort of a season off this year. I race with the AFM. It's a club racing organization in Northern California. We race at three tracks, Thunderhill, Buttonwillow, and Sears Point, now known as Infineon. I love it. I also teach a new racer school for a track day organizer in California called Keg Ones at the Track, and that is quite the love of mine, and bringing new racers into the fold, just as I said, for Sebastian Porto. And so I just wanted you to know a little bit about me, because like I said, I'll be talking to you, and I would love to hear from you folks as well. On to, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, in addition to racing and my love of all things two-wheeled racing, I also really appreciate, as a racer, as well as a fan, the corner workers. The corner workers do so much for the racers. They do so much for everything about the sport. And so I have done some corner working myself. The last large race that I corner worked was the World Superbike race in 2004. And that was fantastic. That was at Laguna Seca. And I have the privilege and the honor this year of, I intended to last year, corner work for the USGP. Unfortunately, my mother passed away just before the event and I was unable to attend. However, I will be attending this year. I am, as I said at the beginning, completely locked in. I have rented a small RV. I will be camping with the rest of the corner workers. Camping is not necessarily the best word. I'll have my little house on wheels. But I'm thrilled and excited to be doing it. And I'm also doing it with a group of people that I know and trust, which is very important in corner working. So I will be there at the USGP. I'll have the second best seat in the house. Of course, the riders have the best one. And if you happen to see a tall, skinny guy in all white, not sure what turn I'll be working this year, but feel free to say hi. I won't be wearing my MotoGP OD t-shirt, but since we are all white shirts, but hopefully I'll have a chance to talk to some of you, and I will certainly try and make myself available, and we'll talk about more of that as the race gets closer. So, with that, I thank you very much for downloading this. I hope that I will turn out to be as worthy a host of Bob as Bob. And Bob, if you happen to be listening out there, and I know you are, good luck. Take care of yourself. Try not to get too steamy down there in Mississippi. And know that all your fans back here at MotoGPOD and indeed around the world are missing you and wishing you best of luck. To all you listeners out there, thank you for downloading this episode. If you have any questions or comments, you can send them. Right now, Bob and I are sort of getting both the emails from MotoGP@MotoGPOD.com. If you want to get to me directly, you can do so at race@MotoGPOD.com. And I will try and get back to you as soon as possible. I currently don't get those emails during the day, during my regular job, and so I have to respond to them at night. Some of them are rather timely. But know that I am thinking about you folks. I will try and get back to you as soon as possible, especially if you've got some great show ideas or some particularly good information, or you just want to pat us on the back or wish us well. So, with that, I will sign off, and thanks for listening, and hopefully we'll have, not hopefully, we'll have something great and a good wrap-up on Tuesday night. Take care. MotoGP is a trademark of Dorna Sports SL. The MotoGPOD podcast and MotoGPOD.com are not affiliated with Dorna Sports SL. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners. MotoGPOD is not affiliated with any of them.